Welcome to the Holistic Health Podcast, beautiful humans. If a professional, polished, well-edited podcast is what you're after, then move right on.
If, however, you love unfiltered banter, unedited bloopers, authentic heart sharing, and a very generous dash of holistic health education, then you're in the right place.
Hello, beautiful humans. Welcome back to the Holistic Health Podcast. Do you know every time I start this podcast, I want to be like, I'm Natalie Douglas and joining me is Amy Skilton, but it just feels really funny to say, I am Natalie Douglas.
This is your host, Amy Skilton.
Funny, but
try it on for size next.
I know. I mean, I know that our long-term listeners will know who's who, but sometimes I forget that there may be new listeners who don't actually know the difference between like my voice and your voice. Like they're very distinct. Yours is much more soothing.
I don't know about that. It's like but, a dodgy half Kiwi, half Aussie accent.
Oh, honestly, I remember when I first heard your voice when you were doing recordings for Bioceuticals. Oh, am I allowed to say that? Yeah, I think I am. when you're doing like a lot of education seminars and everything, and I was listening to some, I was like, oh my gosh, this is just like heaven. Just listening to your voice was just heaven. Everything just felt so nurturing and nourishing and gentle, and I forgot I was actually learning. So love that for you.
That's so and me. Sweet. And well, you know what? I have
especially
had
me because I don't know that you listen to your own voice.
You know, it's so funny. I remember reading something about why we hate the sound of our own voice.
Yeah.
And I used to watch, you know, I did a lot of TV work. I used to always watch myself back and I would just cringe, like hate the sound of my voice. But I do get told a lot that it's very soothing and very calming. And so I thank God for that because it doesn't sound that way to me. But it's truly, I think, just the way it sounds inside our heads is different. And then when we hear it from outside, it's a bit jarring because it doesn't match what we think it sounds like on the inside. But thanks for that. I'm glad you find it soothing.
Absolutely. Well, I am Natalie Douglas and this is Amy Skilton. Any newbies here? And today's episode, we are doing a holiday themed episode, as you would have already noticed from clicking on the title, which is really just a bit of a conversation around some of our personal holiday season tips and tricks. I know these are conversations that I've been having a lot with my clients lately as we're getting closer and closer, or more and more social events and occasions are coming up, and there's mixed feelings around spending time with family and friends and obligations and, you know, managing the introverts and the extroverts and everything in between. So we have gathered up a few tips for you and we are going to share them. And I might kick off with the first one that comes to mind for me, and these are in no particular order, which is really just to make sure that you plan ahead with which social occasions you're going to, I guess, for lack of a better term, be a bit more YOLO at versus which ones you aren't.
And you the reason not all I, of them? What do you mean? Pick which ones?
That is Amy Skilton speaking. No, I'm kidding. Yes, I mean, by all means, you absolutely can go YOLO at all of them if that is what you want to do. And I also know that for a lot of our listeners, health is a high value and feeling good consistently is a high value. And when we enter this season where there is a lot more socializing, particularly compared to what our usual social calendar might look like, I often find that it takes a little bit more intentionality around thinking things through from a social event and food perspective than otherwise, because I know that for a lot of people, and particularly a lot of my clients, they will go, well, you know, I don't eat out that often, or I don't have big social occasions or overeat with food that often. So it's not like I have to really think about it because it is a rare occurrence by pure nature of the kind of life that they live. And of course, that's not everyone, but just speaking to those people, and that's certainly the case for me. Whereas I feel like during this season where you're catching up with a lot of people, a lot of social stuff is based around food. And also we're often exposed to more variety of foods than we might ordinarily cook or prepare for ourselves or have in our home. And it's very easy, particularly if you're a foodie like me, to get really excited by that and go, I want to try everything, or, oh my gosh, that's so nostalgic. I'm just going to have a little bit of that. And so where I feel like the magic can lie, if you choose, is to be able to maintain your health and feel good through this season, plus also having moments where you do indulge in something that maybe is a bit nostalgic or is a little bit higher in sugar, or maybe there's some alcohol involved, so that you get the joy of being involved in that, without necessarily tipping the scales too far in the direction where you get to the end of Christmas, New Year kind of season just feeling like absolute crap going into the new year. Mm-hmm. So what I often tell clients to do is have a look at your social calendar across December and January if you're kind of going away places or you plan to do more socializing, and look at, okay, in this week or in this month, I'm going to choose one day a week on average or one event a week on average where I'm maybe not letting my whole decisions be led by what is the healthiest thing I could possibly choose, but rather I'm being led by what do I feel like in the moment? What's going to bring me joy? But then the other times where you still may have social occasions on or you're having people come over, you actually intentionally set yourself a goal or an intention, whatever feels best for you, that I'm going to socialize and I'm going to enjoy my time around these people as best I can, depending on who they are. And I also am going to still eat in alignment with what I know makes my body feel my best, knowing that on Thursday or on Saturday or whenever it is, I'm, going to have a bit more of a YOLO day. And that's not to say that eating processed food or high sugar food is quote unquote bad. There's no morality here. This is really just about recognizing that you can't have it all. Like, you can't just overindulge, eat heaps of sugar, have more alcohol, stay up late, and still feel really good. So there has to be some kind of plan around it, because otherwise it's just too easy for it to snowball.
Oh my gosh, very sage advice. And it really is about allowing yourself to make the most of all the wonderful things you've got on your calendar without coming out the other side feeling like shit and feeling like you've damaged your health in some way, or you've moved away from, your goals or how you really want to feel. And for that reason, my tip is also around planning ahead, but is actually around planning on how and when you're going to get enough sleep. Now, this might sound a little bit random, but with regards to the hierarchy of health requirements, sleep is the foundation upon which everything else is built. I will never, ever skimp on sleep to get up to go to the gym. So if I have to choose between getting 8 hours or getting 7 hours and having time to go to the gym, you better believe I'm getting 8 hours. And that's not because exercise isn't important, but for some reason, like, life has just converged on itself and there's not room for both of those things, for example, sleep always comes first, because without that, none of your other restorative, reparative processes can engage, and everything else you do has a more limited effect. So with sleep, this is how I approach it. During the year or during the working week, certainly for me, I'm pretty protective of what time I'm out in the evenings, although I won't ever sort of turn down an important occasion for that. But what I do then is modify my schedule to make sure I can get enough rest. Now, what does that look like? So, if I've got let's just invent a Christmas party. I've got a Christmas party invitation. I'm going to be out dancing till midnight. And then I know I'm going to wake up around sunrise, 5:30 or 6. Like, I might be lucky to get 5.5, 6 hours sleep, if that. So I'm running short by a few hours. So for me, I, if I could avoid it, I wouldn't, you know, back it up the following night with somewhere else. I'd probably schedule a nap in my day, middle of the day or early afternoon. I can nap, by the way. I know not everyone can. So this, you know, have to modify this strategy for you. Nat's nodding. She's,
I'm not a napper. I try. I'm getting better, but by better, I mean, I might have napped once in the last year.
Look, I am queen of the naps, and I've written on my blog also about coffee naps, which are also really useful if you can tolerate caffeine and you want to be able to have an efficient nap and then pop out the other side ready to go again. But I might schedule a nap or I will look at where can I go to bed earlier the following night to catch up on sleep. Now, you can't truly ever make up a sleep debt 100%. However, you can go a long way just to actually banking a few more restorative hours. Now, if it's not possible to do that sleep-wise, maybe you will schedule an hour of yin yoga instead, or a half an hour guided meditation, or just simply lie down with your eyes closed and an eye mask on for half an hour listening to nice music. Actually looking at making sure you're getting sufficient rest and or sleep each day, or in the overall makeup of your week would be really important. So if you're a total social butterfly, this might be just, you'll have to be a real ninja with your diary. But for me, this allows me to have my cake and eat it too, so to speak. I can say yes to every invitation I want to. I don't usually ever have to consider saying no to something, but I think very carefully about, you know, am I going to get enough sleep, or should I go to that event early so I can catch up with people and then I can, you know, leave earlier? Or if I'm going to go the whole hog and dance until, you know, the middle of the night, then I'm going to think about where I can catch up elsewhere, so that I don't burn out. And I think we can all agree, like, we're not our best selves when we're not rested. And with this silly season happening at the moment, like, the opportunities to absolutely rip ourselves off with sleep and rest are ample. Nat, do you want to say anything about that, my friend?
Facials this today are just probably giving everything away. I really feel like I'm not my best self when I have not had good rest. It's just, I feel some people handle sleep deprivation a bit better than others. Mm. And I'm not the person that handles it well. And it's quite the contrast, because most of the time I'm a cool cucumber, very nice, easygoing. But if you catch me when I'm sleep deprived, dear me, it's not it's not the same Nat. So
different Nat, yeah.
Different Nat, but that's okay. That's why we keep me well rested, and you know, my people in my close world are very aware that that's how things need to function. So everyone's on board all round. I love that. I really love actually that you spoke to sleep, because I do think it's something that is so easily just let go of during this time. Mm-hmm. So the next one I wanted to bring up is to have a, or what I like to do is to have a kind of like a mindset or a self-care related goal that doesn't involve food during this time. So for a lot of us, there is, you know, maybe you have some time off work, maybe work is just a little bit quieter, maybe you're in a different environment. Like, there's usually, for most people, there's a degree of difference about the hecticness, in a way, of like the day to day, the week to week. And I think that a lot of people get to the end of the year and just feel absolutely spent. and, you know, physically, emotionally, mentally. And it can be really easy to just get caught up in drinking and eating food and lazing around and kind of just letting everything go because you're just so exhausted and just can't be bothered. And it's a bit of a, I'll wait until the new year to think about all of that. And what I would encourage you to do is actually in December, when you're listening to this episode, before Christmas has actually come around, what I'd really encourage you to think about is, what are, you know, one to two things that I can do each week during this, you know, weird, like December, January, like holiday-esque kind of period that make me feel joy, pleasure, like restoration, relaxed, you know, an exhale that isn't centered around food or even television. Not that television is bad, you know, in moderation, by all means, watch some Netflix. But what I mean by that is, like, can you make some time to meditate twice a week? Can you book yourself in for a facial or a massage? Can you try out a new Pilates class that you have been putting off because you haven't had time to get there? Can you catch up with some girlfriends but ask them if they'd like to go to the beach or go for a walk in nature or do a hike? Or can you, look at incorporating a breathwork practice? Or can you just implement a phone-free day or a phone-free half day one or two days a week? I think, or can you do some journaling? I think it's really beautiful to still have something that feels still connected to you and your values during this time, rather than feeling like you get swept up in what everyone else's values are during this time, or that you just completely tune out and then make decisions that don't feel ultimately in alignment with how you want to feel and how you want to go into the new year feeling as well. Mm. So for me, this transition period, I'm actually focusing on finding a new way to move my body, which for me at the moment is exploring some Pilates and yoga and reformer Pilates that I'd kind of stepped away from for quite a while in favor of a little bit more yang exercise, which I've really enjoyed, gotten a lot out of, will always love that. And also I'm using this time to try out a few studios, see what I like. And it's something that I have to look forward to that gives me back something without numbing me out or, making me go down a path that doesn't actually feel like it's in alignment with how I want to feel every day. But it could be completely different for you.
That's beautiful. And I think what's so nice about that is not only does it give you something to ground yourself with and focus on outside of the craziness, I also feel like there's a real unfortunate mindset. I absolutely get it, but an unfortunate mindset around waiting till January 1 to, you know, do nice things for yourself or get back into a routine, or, you know, waiting for Monday, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And so it just really allows you to anchor back into a practice of some description that keeps you in alignment with your values. And I guess my tip is somewhat similar, although serving another purpose. So my next tip for surviving the silly season is to actually double down on your self-care. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you're doing a lot of extra socializing, you're doing a lot more peopling, and this is true for introverts and extroverts, is that the harder you play, the gentler and more you need to rest. And especially if you're an introvert like me, then you need even more. But ultimately, it's all about that balance of yin and yang. And if you're yanging your life more, you also need to balance out the other side with yin. Otherwise, when, you know, that prolonged imbalance can lead to health problems, whether that's physical, mental, emotional, or otherwise. So, you know, Nat mentioned journaling, but it might be reading, it might be meditating, it might be time in nature, you know, getting sunlight, salt water, you know, spending quality time with yourself, you know, booking in more yoga classes, or, you know, treating yourself to some extra care, whether it's a massage or reflexology, or simply carving out, you know, 30 minutes each day to sit down and read your book and not people at all, or lie in a dark room sucking your thumb if you've just absolutely overdone it at the Christmas party. And really just looking at the balance in your social calendar of energy expenditure and energy recharging. Now, for the extroverts who do get nourished and fed by connection with other people, that's great, but you are also still spending a lot of energy. So we really do need to think about what are the ways in which we recharge typically, or what works well for us. And when we're kind of doubling up on the amount of socializing and people and we're doing, we need to also double down on the re-energizing practices as well. So, you know, the calendar is going to feel very full, but again, the intention of this episode is so that you thrive in this season and your health continues to flourish and you get to do all of the things that you want to do. It's very much yes and both, but how do you say yes to all of those things without tipping anything out of balance? So that's my intention with that recommendation.
I love that. And I just want to like highlight, underline, asterisk, you know, that you can thrive in this time. Because so many people see it as a nothing time, you know, as a things are on pause. Whereas I actually think if you allow it to be, it can be a beautiful time of reflection, of intention, of restoration in whatever way that that feels like or looks like for you. And I personally love that. You know, I think it's really a really beautiful, energetic time in the world too. So, yes. So my final one is, again, quite pragmatic. I've just got my Captain Pragmatic hat on over here today. And that is to keep your routines. So what I mean by this specifically is that if you're someone who thrives off routine, or routine is a key element for you to stay on track with your health consistently. So that might show up for you in the way of, if you don't do meal prep every week, you end up just not, you know, grazing at food, eating kids' leftovers, having rice crackers and hummus or peanut butter out of the jar for lunch. If you know that about yourself, just because you have less days at work or your general routine across the month is different, don't let some of those anchors go. You know, if you, I think the reason for that is A, it allows you to still stay healthy consistently. And when you're feeling healthy, you make better decisions. And so it really does have a flow and effect. And I think meal prep and still having intention and planning around food is one that I highly recommend and do myself. You know, unless, you know, I'm in transit every weekend, I will still have a think about what foods I'm going to eat during the week and make sure that I do some meal prep so that that is available. And there might be some adjustments to that if you know that, you know, you've got a couple of dinners that you're going out to, or there's a Christmas lunch and you know you're going to have leftovers, you can factor that into how much food you actually prep. But making sure there's still intentionality around keeping those really helpful anchoring routines in place. Another one that I think is a really good one to try and keep in the momentum of is whatever your movement and exercise routine is. So if at the moment you're someone who is doing, you know, you're getting up and you're going for a walk every morning because that's the only time that you can fit it in before work, or you're doing it in the evening because that's the only time that you can fit it in, or you're going to X amount of gym classes or whatever it might be per week, my encouragement would be to still keep the habit running. Even if the time shifts very slightly, so running with the morning example, let's say at the moment you're waking up and you're going for a walk at 6 a.m., just making something up because that's just the time you have to do it. that maybe you have some time off over Christmas and New Year's, and I would encourage you to still keep that morning walk in, but maybe it gets shifted to 7 a.m. because you're sleeping in a little bit longer or whatever it might be. But really try and keep a lot of those movement and food and sleep habits anchored in as much as you can, because A, as I've kind of said already, it does allow you to exist in this season in a much more abundant, thriving space. And B, it makes it so much easier to transition back into the new year when there are more responsibilities or, you know, other obligations or commitments that come back onto your plate, rather than just feeling like you get thrown into a complete whirlwind. So I think it's just really helpful because it's much easier to maintain a habit than it is to create a new one.
Yes. And also the inertia that can develop as a result of dropping the habits you've already taken the time and energy to create. Just sort of harking back to the January 1 thing, I do notice a lot of people will just relax or drop their healthy habits altogether. And then it'll be like, oh, I'll start again in January 1. But then they're hungover and they're tired. And they're like, oh, I'll start on the, you know, the first Monday of January. And then it's still summer holidays and there's still things going on. And then it's like February 1. And you know what I mean? Like, and then you've sort of lost that momentum and all of the benefits that you've built up. Some of them have subsided. Again, it's not about achieving or attaining any particular ideal, but you're going to thrive if you continue to stay engaged with the things that you know make your body feel best, even when it's busy.
Yeah, love it. I love it. And I feel you've got one more in you. What is one more to round out these tips?
Yeah. So the last thing I wanted to share is a super simple one, and it almost sounds too simple to even think about, but it's staying hydrated. And the reason I'm highlighting this is, well, lots of reasons. Basically, by the time we feel thirsty, we're already quite dehydrated. And even just a small amount of dehydration, like a percent or so, can impact brain function, energy production, our immune system, increase our risk of catching something that's going around. And during the silly season, there's a lot going on that can make it more challenging to stay hydrated. So for example, you know, if you're socializing more, you might be drinking more coffee or tea. You might be meeting friends for a coffee or tea or breakfast and having coffee there. Or you might be meeting people for an alcoholic drink after work, or maybe you're kicking off at midday because it is December after all. and so you're consuming dehydrating things. Certainly here in the Southern Hemisphere, it's summer. And so it's hot, we're sweating more, and so we need even more water. And interestingly, like if you're someone who's used to drinking a lot of water because you're going to the gym and or you exercise and then you've dropped that habit because it is the silly season, often I find people drop that extra water that they would normally have with their exercise. Now, for our Northern Hemisphere counterparts who are having, you know, colder Christmases, I also find that chilliness really puts people off drinking water. I'm the same in winter. I often go for herbal teas instead because it's hard to drink cold water when it's chilly outside. So for many reasons, and also we're just so much busier, like, you know, we're decorating for the holidays. We are, you know, if you're buying gifts for people, there's a lot of, you know, things you've got to manage around that, organizing the social engagements, the catering and all of that sort of stuff. And because we're a lot busier, we're often neglecting those small things. And that might even be even skipping meals or eating on the run, which Nat sort of mentioned earlier, sort of deviating from, I guess, what you would naturally nourish yourself with. So in the case of staying hydrated, this is going to really help you with your energy. It'll help offset to some degree all the extra caffeinated and alcoholic beverages that you might have, and balance out anything else where you might have otherwise forgotten. But truly, this is going to help you remain energized, clear thinking, you know, physically energized enough to like keep up with everything and enjoy yourself, actually. I mean, I'm sure we can all relate to a season of life where we've hauled our exhausted ass around social engagements and really not enjoyed enjoyed it all that much. And we don't want that for you. And so maybe it is, you know, you can either plan intentionally or track your water intake, or you can simply take a more effortless way of doing it and just buy yourself, if you don't already have one, a 2-liter water bottle and make sure you have it with you as you're running.
And that it's not plastic.
And that it's not plastic. So stainless steel, glass, or there is a type of plastic called Triton that's been tested to not contain any endocrine disrupting chemicals. So any one of those we'd be happy about, but just take your water with you, add electrolytes to it if it is a hot season or you're indulging in caffeine and alcohol, and just do yourself a favor and stay juicy, friends.
Stay juicy. You heard it here first. I think electrolytes are such a game changer when I think it's a really, really good thing to add in during this kind of season where for all the reasons you said, I think that's, super, super fun, super good. And plus it makes, you know, makes your water a little bit more enticing and we're always happy about that. So the last thing that I wanted to share before we wrap up is just a very small amount of admin, which is that we will have one more episode after this for you as part of the 2023 collection. We're having 1 week off between Christmas and New Year's with no podcast episode released just that week. Though we trust that you're going to be present and full with family and friends, or maybe just with yourself and your dog, whatever floats your boat. There's so many episodes that you can also flick back through, re-listen to anything that, you know, perhaps you are feeling drawn towards at the moment, and then get excited for a new season to come in 2024, which we are already planning for, and just so excited to bring you some more juicy podcast episodes. I don't know if they'll be juicy. It just felt like the right thing. Some more just really helpful, impactful, pragmatic, insightful content that's going to help you along your health journey. So yeah, we actually have if all goes to plan, we have a really fun episode for you next week. Fingers crossed we can pull it off, but watch this space.
Oh, friends, it has been a wonderful year. Thanks for joining us. We have loved every minute of it. And we do hope you enjoy the end of year surprise we've got for you next week too.
For now.
Bye. You've been listening to the Holistic Health Podcast with Amy and Nat.
If you loved this episode, then make sure you share it on Instagram and give us a tag.
If you'd like to help us spread the holistic health message far and wide, then we would also so appreciate it if you left a rating and review. This helps us more than you know.
And don't forget to come and say hi over on Instagram. See you next week.